This morning's reading will be from the book of Joshua, chapter 24. I'll start reading at verse 14 and read through verse 24. That's Joshua 24, verses 14 through 24. Now therefore fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So the people answered and said, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God is he who brought us and our fathers up out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way that we went and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out from before us all the people, including the Amorites who dwelt in the land. We also will serve the Lord, for he is our God. But Joshua said to the people, you cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then he will turn and you do not, and he will turn and do harm and consume you after he has done you good. And the people said to Joshua, no, but we will serve the Lord. So Joshua said to the people, you are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen the Lord for yourselves to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. Now therefore, he said, put away the foreign gods which are among you and incline your heart to the Lord God of Israel. And the people said to Joshua, the Lord our God we will serve, and his voice we will obey.
Again this morning we want to talk about choices. As Joshua calls upon the children of Israel, he says, choose this day whom ye will serve. That is a choice that we all make. Every day of our lives we make choices. We have privileges and we have responsibilities that are reflected in the choices that we make. The question may be asked, why did God make man in such a way to make choices? Some have often asked me that question. Why didn't God just make man where he would do what God said? Why did he put a tree in the Garden of Evil, or the Garden of Eve, the Garden of Eden? Why did he put a tree in the Garden of Eden and tell man that he can't partake of it? Well, the reason is choice. What glory would there be given to God if man had no choice? But given choice, man has the opportunity to choose right, or he can choose wrong. In this text we see illustrated the right to choose good or the right to choose the bad things. When we see a choice, that demands of us responsibility for the choices that we make. But a choice is just that. Again, we are not robots. When Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, we have the choice either to do that or to not. It is indeed an invitation that demands a choice, but with the choice comes responsibility. Abraham offered unto his nephew Lot a choice. He said, you can choose the land that you want to choose, and I will take what's left. Lot chose the land of the plains of Jordan, and we see the consequences, the responsibility that were implicated in the choice that he made. Sometimes our parents may be wicked or evil, but that does not remove from us the ability to choose the things that are good. It's interesting to notice that as good a king as Hezekiah was, who was his father? Hezekiah's father was the wicked king Ahaz. But Hezekiah had the right to make better choices than his father did. And he chose to serve God and is identified as one of the best kings that the people of God ever had. We might even raise this question regarding influences that may be upon us that are outside of our family. We might note in Philippians, the 4th chapter and in verse 22, as wicked as the emperor of Rome was, Nero, we notice that there were saints even in Nero's house. Yes, my friend, we can make choices. Choices that we want to talk about in our study this morning. But as we make choices, as Joshua called upon these people to make, choose you this day whom ye will serve.
We have the privilege to make a choice whom we will serve. Whether we serve God or whether we serve idols. In the 1 Thessalonian letter, the apostle writing in chapter 1 verse 9 said, "For they themselves report concerning us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned unto God from idols to serve a living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivereth us from the wrath to come." These in Thessalonica made a choice. They had in their heritage the practice of worshiping idols. But they made a different choice. They chose to serve a living God. As we read in 1 Kings chapter 18, again, we have a choice. We find that the prophet of God gave unto the people of Israel a choice, and they had to make the choice based upon the evidence presented to them. In 1 Kings chapter 18 in verse 20, "And so Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together unto," or Ahab, "and gathered the prophets together unto Carmel. And Elijah came near unto all the people and said, How long go ye limping between two sides? If Jehovah be God, follow Him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word." Now they tried to escape the choice that was presented unto them. But in refusing to answer, beloved, they had made a choice. But yet we see as a result of the evidence presented unto them in the next several verses of this chapter. They understood who God is in verse 39. "And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, Jehovah, He is God." Jehovah, He is God. Now there's the choice. We can choose between God or we can choose between idols that we might serve. In Matthew, the 12th chapter, again, we see that we cannot set straddle of the fence. We must make a choice. In Matthew, the 12th chapter, reading beginning at verse 26, Jesus said, "If Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then shall his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebub cast out demons, by whom do your sons cast them out? Wherefore they shall be your judges. But I say, but if I by the Spirit of God cast out demons, then is the kingdom of God come upon you. Or how can one enter into a house of the strong man and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house?" In this context, Jesus is accused of casting out demons by Beelzebub, the prince of demons. But Jesus points out the impossibility of that. A house divided against itself cannot stand. In Romans, the 6th chapter, we have the choice of obedience or we have the choice of remaining in sin. In Romans, the 6th chapter, reading beginning in verse 16, Paul asks the question. He says, "Know ye not that to whom ye present yourselves as servants unto obedience, his servants ye are whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? But thanks be to God that whereas ye were servants of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching whereunto ye were delivered, and being made free from sin, ye became servants of righteousness." Who made the choice? Well, they did. They had a choice whether to remain in sin or whether to be in Christ and receive the forgiveness of their sins. Beloved, we all have that choice. But we can't straddle the fence. We can't say, well, I'll just choose to be neutral. Turn back again, if you will, to Matthew, the 12th chapter. In Matthew, the 12th chapter, reading beginning at verse 30. Matthew, the 12th chapter, again reading at verse 30. Matthew chapter 12, verse 30. "He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth." Now there is no middle ground, is there? We cannot say, well, I'll just remain neutral. You're either for or against. Sometimes we in jest make or ask the question regarding sin. What are you preaching on? Preaching on sin. Well, are you for it or against it? Now we say that in jest, but beloved, that's a good question. Either you're for it or you're against it, because you can't choose to remain neutral. In Matthew, the 6th chapter, reading in verse 24. Matthew, the 6th chapter, verse 24. Jesus said, "No man can serve two masters, For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now, beloved, there's a choice to be made. And all of you present this morning will indeed make a choice of these things. Either to serve God or to serve idols. To serve Christ or to serve Satan. To be obedient or to choose those things that are sinful. You will make a choice. You cannot remain neutral, and you cannot compromise in an effort to serve two masters. Turning back to the Old Testament book of Exodus, in the 20th chapter and in verse 3, the writer says, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." We read in this text of the giving of the Ten Commandments, the giving of the law. "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." I want to ask you, do you suppose these people understood what God said? Did they understand the law relative to the practice of idolatry? As you turn to the 23rd chapter and read beginning at verse 24, again the text says, "Thou shalt not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do after their works, but thou shalt utterly overthrow them and break in pieces their pillars." Now, did the people of God understand the commandment of God that they were not to worship idols? Well, then why later does Joshua ask the question, "Choose you whom ye will serve, whether these or these"? Now, they affirmed, "We will serve God. We will be faithful to God." They gave a verbal answer, as we pointed out in their study last week. But as you turn to the book of Judges, I want you to notice the response in their practice. In verse 11 of chapter 2, the writer says, "And the children of Israel did that which was evil in the sight of Jehovah, and served the Balaam." In verse 13, "They forsook Jehovah and served Baal and the Ashereth." In chapter 3, verse 7, "And the children of Israel did that which was evil in the sight of Jehovah, and forgot Jehovah their God, and served the Balaam and the Ashereth." You'll notice in the 4th chapter, verse 1, "And the children of Israel again did that which was evil in the sight of Jehovah." And as you continue into chapter 6, verse 1, "And the children of Israel did that which was evil in the sight of Jehovah, and Jehovah delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And on and on and on, you can go through almost every chapter in the book of Judges and find repeatedly that the children of Israel did that which was evil in the sight of Jehovah. Now, didn't they understand the law of God? Did they? "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." Joshua said, "Choose you this day whom you will serve." And time after time, they chose, "We will serve God." But friend, what was their practice? Did they continue in service to God? Now, as you come to the end of the book of Judges, in chapter 21, verse 25, read it. "In those days there was no king in Israel, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes." Now, here we have a period of time when people are not doing the right things. You can study back through the book of Joshua and notice the great conquest of these people. How that Joshua led them into the promised land. And the first city to be conquered was the city of Jericho. I asked Caitlin this morning, "What'd you study about in Bible class?" Said, "I studied about Jericho. The walls fell down." Well, that's right. This was the first conquest in the land. But as you come through the 11th chapter of the book of Joshua, you will see that everything that God promised, they had conquered the land. And as you come to the 21st chapter, Joshua affirms to them that not one thing has failed. In the 23rd chapter, he tells them again, not one thing has failed. All has come to pass. And that sets the backdrop against the question, "Choose you this day whom ye will serve." And they said, "We'll serve God." But they didn't. Now, you know why? When you come to Joshua chapter 2, parents, Judges chapter 2, and you look at verse 10, what do you read? Judges chapter 2, verse 10. It says, "And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. And there arose another generation after them that knew not Jehovah, nor yet the work which he had wrought for Israel." Do we not see that it only takes one generation to prompt another choice. Now, beloved, if you don't think that's serious, then you look carefully throughout the book of Judges. Just one generation. And we've got another choice. Yes, we get to choose. Choice is inescapable. But not only do you choose whom ye will serve, you choose the cause for which you will stand. Turn back, if you will, to the book of Hebrews. In the 11th chapter, beginning at verse 24, in what we sometimes refer to as the great hall of faith, we read about the faith of Moses. And in verse 24, your Bible says, "By faith Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to share ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, accounting the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he looked unto the recompense of reward." Moses was not a pup, beloved. He was 40 years old when he chose to suffer ill treatment with the people of God. He made a mature choice. "I will serve God. I will suffer if need be at the hand of the Egyptians, but I will serve God." And when you read of Stephen's rehearsing of the history of this great nation, you'll notice in chapter 7 in verse 22, Stephen says, "And Moses was instructed in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and he was mighty in his words and works." I want you to see what Moses left. He had been well educated in all of the learning of the Egyptians. He had the opportunity growing up in Pharaoh's house to be blessed with all the treasuries that Egypt could offer. But he chose rather to suffer ill treatment with the people of God. Now, why did he do that? Well, because he saw that all the pleasures that Egypt had to offer, they were temporary. They wouldn't continue. When you read of Jesus in Philippians, the second chapter, as Paul illustrates the attitude that brethren ought to have toward one another and considering one another better than self, he says at verse 5, "Have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who existing in the form of God, counted not the being on an equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being made in likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man. He humbled himself, becoming obedient, even unto death, yea, the death of the cross." Look carefully, beloved. Jesus, while he was upon this earth, according to Hebrews chapter 4, was tempted in all points like as we are. But yet he chose to be obedient even unto death. He made a choice, didn't he? He chose to be faithful to God. Now why? Why did he choose to be faithful to God? He was tempted, the text tells us, Hebrews 4 verses 14 through 16, in all points like as we are. But if you'll notice in Matthew the 6th chapter, having been offered all the kingdoms of the world in Matthew the 4th chapter, Jesus said at verse 19, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust consume and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth consume, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where thy treasure is, there will thy heart be also." Jesus understood that true treasure is not upon this earth. He had the opportunity to be given all the kingdoms of the world. He was tempted like you and I are. But he understood where true treasure lies. In the Hebrew letter, in the 12th chapter, following again the great examples of the 11th chapter, the writer says, "Therefore let us also, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Now, why did Jesus render obedience even unto death? The text tells us that he endured even the cross, despising shame. Why? Because he looked for the joy that was set before him. There was something more valuable than those things that are offered in this life. Again, in the Philippian letter, turning back this time to the third chapter, The apostle talks about the things that he had to his credit, beginning in verse 3. But then as he comes down to verse 7, having identified all of the things that were to his credit in the Jews' religion, he says, howbeit what things were gained to me, these have I counted loss for Christ. Yea, verily, I count all things to be loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but refuse, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him. Now why did Paul make such a choice? He served the cause of Christ even at great expense to himself. Why did he do that? In the Roman letter, in the 8th chapter, in verse 18, he explains. He said, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed to us. Now, my beloved friends, when you begin to choose the cause for which you will serve, you can serve the world, or you can choose to serve the Lord. Now, you'll make that choice. The world will make its appeal. But Jesus continues to say, come unto me. Come unto me. You'll make that choice. We also, beloved, have the choice of our destinies. We may raise the question, where will you be in eternity? Now that's a good question, because that choice is in your hand to make. In Matthew the 7th chapter, reading beginning at verse 13. Matthew the 7th chapter, verse 13. Your Bible and mine says, enter ye in by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many are they that enter in thereby. For narrow is the gate, and straitened the way that leadeth unto life. And few are they that find it. Now you'll choose the choice. But beloved, you only have two choices. Though it be a multiple choice, the choices are not exhaustive. You've got two. You'll choose the broad way that leads unto destruction, or you'll choose the narrow way that leads unto life. And bless your sweet heart, that's determined by the choices that you make, who you will serve, and for what cause you will stand. Now that's what you'll choose. And the things that you will choose affect your eternity. Now I want you to think about some other things about this choice. Choices are individual. When we read in Genesis the 2nd chapter, we see that God made man with the ability to choose. He is made after the image of God. He was given a commandment not to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Even though Eve ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, being deceived, the text tells us that she also gave unto her husband, and he did eat. Now the choice that Eve made did not demand that Adam make the same choice, did it? Eve made her choice, and Adam made his. Choosing is individual. Salvation is individual. In Matthew the 11th chapter at verse 28, when Jesus said, come unto me. Nobody can do that for you. That's a choice that you have to make. In Matthew or Revelation, it is the 22nd chapter at verse 17. The writer again says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And he that heareth, let him say, come. And he that is athirst, let him come. He that will, let him take of the water of life freely. No one can decide that for you. That's a choice that you must make. Whether or not you come and enjoy the salvation that's offered through Christ, you have to decide. And you know why? Because when you stand before the God of heaven and earth and give an account of the things that you've done in this life, there won't be anybody to answer for you. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, Paul writes, for we must all be made manifest before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Now friend, that's sobering, isn't it? Choice is individual. It comes independent of family. In Luke the 14th chapter, Jesus said, beginning at verse 26, Luke the 14th chapter, verse 26, If any man cometh to me and hateth not his own father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, in his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Can't do it. The Apostle Paul made a choice that was a different choice that many of his friends and even his relatives made. Paul identifies himself in Philippians, the third chapter, as a Hebrew of Hebrews. He was a Pharisee. That indicates that he is from a lineage that, according to the Jews, could be boasted about. But he gave all that up, family and friends. Jesus again taught in John, the 14th chapter, and in verse 15. John, the 14th chapter, in verse 15. If ye love me, ye will keep my commandments. Beloved, that's a choice you've got to make, independent of friends, even if everybody else is doing it. That doesn't mean you have to do it. In Matthew, the 26th chapter, reading beginning at verse 33, we see that a choice must be made, even if that choice is not a popular choice. Sometimes when I talk with folks about their souls, the question is many times asked, what's that going to mean in my life? What kind of changes is that going to mean? What kind of consequences is that going to impose? In verse 33, Peter answered and said unto him, if all shall be offended in thee, I will never be offended. Well, now that's a very profitable boast, isn't it? One would like to think. If everybody goes this way, I won't, Lord. But you know, sometimes we say the proof of the pudding is in the eating. What was it that Peter did? When the Lord was arrested, the text tells us that all the disciples forsook him and fled. Did that include Peter? Did it? And then when Jesus was being interrogated before Pilate, the Lord having told Peter, before the cock crows, you'll deny that you even know me three times. What choice did Peter make? Having said, all can be offended, but not me, Lord. Why, it was the Apostle Peter who in fact denied the Lord three times. And in Luke's account, the text tells us that the Lord turned and looked upon him. Now, my friends, those of you who have grown up and are mature now, would you ever say that your parents disciplined you in that way, just turned and looked? You see, the point is a simple one. The choices that we make are individual. And you will make them independent of family. You will make them independent of friends. And you will make them, even though they may run counter to popular choice, or you will make the same choices that family and friends and whatever is going make. And that's because your choosing is individual. But choice, beloved, is immediate. Joshua said, choose you this day. He didn't say wait till next year and choose. Choose you this day whom ye will serve. But he said, as far as me and my house, we'll serve Jehovah. And sometimes we think that we can make a choice down the road somewhere and that'll be the right one, but for what we're going to do now, we're going to stay over here. Joshua said, choose this day whom ye will serve. Now Israel made a choice. We mentioned verbally they chose that day whom they would serve, but they were not faithful to that choice. Felix, the same choice was presented to him. In Acts, the 24th chapter, if you'll turn to that and read beginning at verse 24, it says, but after certain days, Felix came with Drusilla, his wife, who was a Jewish, and sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ Jesus. And as he reasoned of righteousness and self-control and the judgment to come, Felix was terrified and answered, go thy way for this time, and when I have a convenient season, I will call thee unto me. Now, did Felix respond to the information that Paul had taught him? Oh, yeah. The text tells us that he was terrified. He knew the facts. Paul had presented them to him. But there were so many changes that would demand in Felix's life. Felix said, I'll wait till a convenient time and then I'll make that choice. Beloved, did Felix make a choice that day? He did. He made a choice. And the choice that he made that day is he would not obey the Lord. In the book of Acts, in the 26th chapter, reading beginning at verse 26, Paul said, For the king knoweth of these things, unto whom I also speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things is hidden from him, for this has not been done in the quarter. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. And Agrippa said unto Paul, Almost, or with but little persuasion, thou wouldest fain make me a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that whether with little or with much, not thou only, but also all that hear me this day might become such as I am, except these bonds. Beloved, did Agrippa make a choice? Did he make it that day? Did he? Yeah, he made a choice. And he made it right then, that he would not be persuaded that day. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, we read at verse 2, For he saith, At an acceptable time I hearkened unto thee, and in a day of salvation did I succor thee. But behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We see some urgency attached to this choice. Now I want you to make some comparisons with me as we conclude our study. Joshua said, Choose you this day whom ye will serve. In the Roman letter, beginning at chapter 6, verse 16, the writer says, Know ye not that you choose? You get to choose whom ye will serve. Let's pause right there. Notice that the choice that you make today, that's your choice. But there will be another day when you won't get to choose. In Acts the 17th chapter, as the Apostle Paul preaches in the city of Athens, he said to them, beginning at verse 30, The times of ignorance therefore God overlooked, but now He commandeth men that they should all everywhere repent, inasmuch as He hath appointed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom He hath ordained, whereof He hath given assurance unto all men, in that He hath raised Him from the dead. Bless your sweet heart, you let that sink all the way to the bottom. You have a choice, and you have a choice today, but there'll be another day when you won't have a choice. It'll be the Lord who's doing the choosing on that day. And you know who He will choose? He will choose those on that day who have made the right choice on this day. My friend, if that's not so, you help me to get it right. We make choices. All of us do. And that day will be a great day when the Lord makes the choice. For He'll be the judge, and He'll do the separating, the one from another. And He'll say to one, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. But He'll say to the other, Depart from me, ye cursed, into eternal fire, which is prepared for the devil and his angels. Friend, the choice is yours. And it's yours this morning. You'll make that choice this morning. Perhaps there are those in the audience this morning who need to obey the gospel. You know that you're separated from God. Your life is not what it needs to be. Why not do the things that you know because you've been taught right? Believe that Jesus is the Christ. Turn from your sin in repentance. Confess your faith and be baptized into Christ. But once you've done that, perhaps you've not been making right choices. And your soul once again is in jeopardy. Beloved, you have to continue to make choices. And the most important choice you can make today is to be right with the Lord. We can help you by praying with you and for you to that end. Or if we can help you by baptizing you into Christ. Make that known, if you would, right now, Randy, while we stand and sing this song.
I hear thy welcome voice that calls me, Lord, to thee. For
wash me, cleanse me in the blood. If you're visiting with us, please stick around for a few minutes and let us get to know you. And please come back and visit with us tonight. We will meet at 5 o'clock for our evening worship service. We also meet on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock for a midweek Bible study. There's nothing...